Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail where you can, in turn, inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you from a whole different location this time. We are on the road to bring you some really interesting stories, and I think you're going to really enjoy what we're going to do this week and next week. And this discussion is going to be edifying, and you're going to hear great stories. Joining Upward Running Director Mitchell Hollis and I are Jeff Higgins and Steve Camp. Jeff is the worship leader here at this Faith Church, I guess.
Yeah, Faith Glen Burnie.
All right. And Steve, we're talk more about, you're a runner, which is near and dear to my heart, for sure. And you guys have had the Upward Running program going here, and yeah. So we'll talk about that. So welcome, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We appreciate you guys making the trip.
Well, Jeff, I said before the podcast started that, you know, we're in the oppressive heat of North Georgia, and yeah. We were so excited this morning to think we were going to fly to Pennsylvania and just land in autumn.
Yeah, no.
It didn't happen.
Autumn was yesterday.
Yeah.
That's the thing with Maryland is that weather changes.
Welcome to North Georgia.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, it feels like home.
Four seasons you
feel,
in one day.
Feel at home here.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, again, thanks for letting us be here. Now, here's my question now, because the Mason-Dixon line is technically between Maryland and Pennsylvania.
Correct.
Correct?
Yes.
So do you guys actually consider yourselves part of the South, or do you consider yourselves part of the North, or are you like, we're Switzerland?
Yeah, Switzerland is a pretty good comparison. We're right in the middle. I mean, I don't know, Steve. It was like, we're like the mullet of America. It's like business at the top, this party at the lower side. Kind of smack dab in the middle. We like the best part about Maryland is you said, you know, we get every season sometimes in the same day, but we have all the seasons, and we are never more than like 2 hours away from wherever you want to be. So if you want mountains, go that way. If you want the beach, go that way. You know, the city is all around us. So we've got lots of things that close by. So Maryland really is the best state.
And the best flag.
Yeah, best flag for sure.
An endorsement there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I was born in New Jersey, believe it or not.
Okay. God
bless you.
Thank you for your service.
Georgia.
Hang around him a little while.
Yeah.
You'll figure that out.
I've got the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
In my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. So, Jeff, again, we talked about you being worship leader. So, tell us kind of what you do around here, because you do a little more than that.
Yep.
Tell us about your family and just a little bit about you.
All right. So, I am the worship pastor. I've been on staff here at Faith since 2003. I've been leading worship here the whole time. A couple of years after coming on as a worship pastor, I became kind of the young adult collegiate minister, and then that branched out, went full-time to be the missions pastor. And then like 10, 12 years later, I guess since 2016, I've been the Upward Commissioner, running basketball and soccer, things like that. Family, I'm married to my best friend. We just celebrated 21 years last month. We have a son, Jack, who is in his first year of college studying English and music, and my daughter is a senior in high school, and she is super into theater, and they're both driving, and so we went, what are we going to do with all of our free time now? And my wife Jen said, I guess we should run. And I was like, yeah. So it kind of worked out perfectly. We have two elderly pugs and then a handful of cats that I don't care about because they're cats. So that's,
yeah, cats are the best pet.
They really are. I mean, like they are lowest maintenance.
3 weeks.
Yeah,
they'll be fine.
Yeah,
when you get back.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. They are very low maintenance. Just, but they're fine.
But if they were 30 pounds, they would kill us all.
100%. Yeah, I can. You can see it in their eyes.
You can.
They're always sure. Plotting that.
Yeah.
Their demise.
Yeah. God didn't make them strong enough for it, but. Yeah.
So I go to a church, a very small church. I mean, we have less than 100 people there on during worship, and so. Missions pastor. Tell me what a missions pastor does. I've never
So my responsibility in that regard is to help plan our mission trips, the activities we do, but then also mostly we've really been trying to do more local, regional, state, because it, you know, used to be the old method model was to take your church and go somewhere way out of state, so it almost felt like a little bit of a vacation. And go do that for a week, and then we come back and go look at our slides, pat ourselves on the back, and go, yeah, that's it. But we really started to catch a sense of we really need to be doing more missional stuff in our community, in our surrounding area. But then also we have a ministry partnership in India where we've been planting churches. So we'd really try to make it Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and literally to the other side of the world.
Sure.
So that's kind of been my responsibility, helping the church mobilize and find opportunities to get involved in those kind of mission activities.
That's awesome. Wow. That's great stuff. All right. Well, Steve, tell us what you do. You're, like I said, you're the runner. You're the guy that brought Upward Running here, really.
This is true, yeah.
And so tell us about you and your family and what you do.
Sure. I've been in the credit union world for going on 40 years. I tell my friends and anyone that asks that I was on the kindergarten work study program. So I started when I was 5. And I spent almost 36 years at a local credit union, and then a few years ago took a leap of faith and went to another credit union in DC. I've been there for about 3 years, a little over 3 years now, in an executive role. So we'll see where that takes me. At the time, it seemed like a great decision until traffic started happening again going to DC. Yeah, it was during COVID, and I was zipping back and forth, and now everyone else is driving on the roads too. I'm married. I have a daughter who's 25, so she's been driving for a while. Mm-hmm. So I still have PTSD from her time learning to drive, and she's finding her way in life. She's a great kid. She tells me she's an adult, but you know, she'll always be my kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My daughter, Abigail, and then my wife and my wife Kim is amazing. I think both of our wives, we definitely married up, and our wives are more interesting than we are.
Way smarter too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're the runner. So how long have you been running?
So the funny story is, as a freshman in high school, I had played baseball as a young person, and I tried out for the high school baseball team and didn't make it. So everyone that didn't make the baseball team went over to the track coach, and the track coach hated that. He didn't like being second choice.
Don't blame him.
And so I always thought I was fast and I was going to be a sprinter until I saw the guys that were already in high school were 6'2" and 180 pounds with no body fat. So they said, you're going to be a distance runner. So I ran the mile and 2 mile in high school, ran cross country, and then just kind of have continued on, you know, off and on. Sometimes I'm more involved than others, but I've always have run since high school.
So I have this theory. So you tell me if this is accurate, okay? My theory is that the reason why the over 40 group is so fast when you go to local road races is because kids are growing up between your 25 and 40 years old. That's when your kids are growing up. So you're more involved with them. You don't have time to train seriously. Right. And then about the time they're in high school is about the time you turn 40. Yep. And you have less time, and so you get more serious about running again. Is that accurate?
I would agree with that. And I would also say, if you haven't run for years and years and years, you don't have all the wear and tear on your body.
Yeah.
Through 40 years. So you pick it up, and usually you're in a better financial place in your life to get nice shoes and equipment and trainers and all the apps and all the equipment. And yeah, so
very true.
That's what's going to happen to Jeff here in a year or so.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can count on it.
So do you run a lot of miles? Or are you a shorter race kind of guy? Do you like 5Ks? Do you like marathons? What do you?
So I like everything. Right now I'm dealing with some health medical injury issues, but throughout my career I've done everything. I've done 5Ks, I've done ultras, I've done 24-hour races, I've dabbled in like triathlon, adventure racing. Right. I do orienteering, which is navigating out in the woods.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I've anything to be outside. And you know, my wife likes to lay by the pool and by the beach, and that's not my favorite thing to do. If I'm going to be outside, I want to be doing something.
Right.
So,
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I remember hearing about orienteering, trying to get the word in my mind. Orienteering, way back when I was in high school, it was a thing. And I remember looking at the maps and thinking, yeah, I don't think I'm interested in that.
Yeah. I call it competitive hiking. hiking with a purpose.
That's a good way to put it. Well, the guy that that was our number one runner on the team when I joined cross country when I was a 10th grader, he was into it. And I knew how smart he was. He was way smarter than I was. And I thought, well, if he's doing it, I probably don't belong in it.
But it's interesting. There was a study or something on 60 Minutes recently where they said orienteering helps people, older people, keep their mind sharp. If holds off Alzheimer's and things like that, too.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So describe orienteering to this is the first I've ever heard. Is this kind of like the Barclays? Would that be orienteering? Maybe. Is it to an extreme?
You have to navigate through the woods, but
topographical maps, right?
So it's getting place A to place B, and all you have is a map.
Yeah, you have a map and a compass.
I would like that. I think you would.
You probably would.
Yeah, so Barclays, you have to know where to go to find the book and pull out your pages.
Yeah.
And I think they give them a map for that.
Yeah.
Well, there's one map, and you have to draw your own from that.
Right? Well, that's true. Yes.
Yeah.
So tell us how you heard about Upward Running.
So I was, I am, a upward basketball coach.
Okay.
And so we have our basketball season in the fall. And like I said, I've been dealing with some health issues, and I had a milestone birthday this year. So I'm thinking, I'm going to get back in shape. I'm going to start running again. And we came out of Upward Basketball at the beginning of the year. I think we finished in the beginning of February. So I had started having thoughts about races I want to do this year. And then on Facebook, I saw the Upward Running advertisement. And I thought, well, what a great, thing to do is I could be running and I could start Upward Running at the church. So I reached out to Jeff and he's like, yeah, let's do it. The church is looking for different activities where people can find their people, I think is how we put it. Mm-hmm. And so we started down the path of, we contacted our rep, we met with Holly, she was great, and we were off from there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So now in talking with Jeff on through Zoom or whatever we were on, you were telling me about all sorts of different ways you guys have reached out. This is one, but there's a lot of different ways, which I thought the folks listening might like to hear about. So creative things.
So we did, like 2 years ago, our pastor made all of the elders read this book called The Other Side of Church, which sounds like it's going to be really boring. And it was not. It was one of the best books I've read. It was on brain science and how it impacts discipleship, and that a key component of discipleship is community, that if people have connection with other people, that will foster greater spiritual growth. And so we as elders just kind of felt convicted, like, we're doing good stuff at the church, but we don't have a lot of opportunities for people to hang out with other people. It would be very easy in a lot of churches for people to show up and then walk out the back door and never have a connection. And for a long time, our mindset was, how do we get everybody to know everybody, which is kind of dumb. And we went, how do we get some people to know some people? You know, everybody needs to know somebody. You don't need to know everybody. And so we just kind of started brainstorming, what are some ideas that we could do to get people who have similar interests together? And so we have a guy in our church who was on season 23 of Jeopardy. And so we have him running trivia nights a couple times a year. We would do some game nights. One of my favorite things, I wanted to do it for a long time. We finally did it this Saturday, was paintball. And now I just had a milestone birthday, and I'm not yet recovered from that. So it hurt, and it was not fun. We're not going to do that one again. But one of the coolest ones, it was fun. Some of the coolest things we've done, some have been sports related. We got people involved in co-ed church softball league that, we started doing that right around the same time. Steve came and said, I want to do Upward Running. And we went, this is perfect timing. One of the things that we just did, similar sports related, but even more couch related, was the pastor came and said, what if we did like a church fantasy football league? And so we ended up recruiting. We just kind of opened it up to the church and said, if you want to be a part of fantasy football, we had about 32 people sign up. Wow. So we've got three different leagues, each one run by a pastor, and we're kind of connecting with people who we haven't really, we either have some connection with or don't, and then we're going to be doing some events to bring everybody together and have a little competition. And so it sounds dumb, but it has allowed us the opportunity to connect with people that we would never have connected with.
And so you're just going out and you're meeting them where they're at.
Yeah, trying to.
Through activities,
doing things. It's like, you know, if you're a runner, you like running, here's a running group. If you like trivia, you don't need to come to running. We don't, like, the runners are over here. If you're a small group, liked paintball, but it was a thing where we got people who had similar interests together. The whole purpose is to go just find people that you can connect with so that when you see them in church, you have a friend, you have somebody who you can go, I know that person, I am connected to somebody in my church family, and then hopefully more relationships grow out of that, and then spiritual growth will come out of that as well.
Yeah. It has always struck me that when we get to heaven, I don't think it's going to be like we think. We think it's going to be like walking into our church and everybody's going to be like us, and that's not going to be the way it's going to be. When we get to heaven, everybody's going to have different interests and they're going to be different people.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great thing.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back in just a minute, and we'll talk more about the Upward Running class.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
Okay, so you guys decided to do your Upward Running class at just the right time. Apparently, it was right in the middle of a heat wave here in Baltimore. Yeah. And how in the world did that happen, and why? And why did you guys decide to go ahead and go on with it anyway, even though it was about a zillion degrees?
I think we were so eager and also a little dumb. We weren't thinking that far ahead. We were when Steve brought me the idea, it was right at the end of our Upward basketball season.
You guys thought, okay, people hate running, so how can we
make it harder? Yeah. Make it worse. We were really trying to cut its knees off, cut it off at the knees before we get started. But he brought it to me. I was like, this falls right inside our vision of allowing people to find people. And we knew that there was going to be a group of runners in our church. We didn't know who they were, but everybody knows they need to get off the couch. So if we can do this and make it accessible, let's do it and jump into it. It was one of the easiest yeses I've ever been able to say in ministry. And then we launched it, I think, the first week in May. It was right around Mother's Day, and it ran for 12 weeks, and it was the hottest 12 weeks of the year. It made absolutely no sense. But it was, the people who did it were committed to it, and no one died. That was kind of our motto this year. Nobody died.
So you said something when we had our call. That was a webinar we did, wasn't it? You made the comment that really stood out to me. I went to Kevin and I was like, listen to what he said. You said it was the easiest. Was it the easiest program to set up in the church? You said, I just heard easiest.
Yes.
Easiest. Stood out to me.
The 7 minutes, right?
Yeah. It was not just the easiest, yes, in terms of it connected to our vision, what we're doing at a church, but as a Upward Commissioner League Director, it was the easiest ministry we have ever been able to get off the ground.
Wow.
Upward is great. love Upward Basketball, there's a lot of infrastructure that is required in order to get it off the ground. And typically for an upper commissioner, a lot of times once the season has started, your work is just kind of maintaining opening doors and making sure everybody has the paperwork they need. But building it, you know, behind the scenes really takes a lot of work. And Steve and I sat down with Holly, and it took us 10 minutes to start. I made this joke before, so if you've heard it, you can skip ahead 15 seconds. But it was 10 minutes, and the last 7 minutes was us just going, was it really that easy? It was just a matter of setting it up, plugging it in, and sidewalks are free. And so we just put out the link to our church, and then people just started responding.
That's cool.
Okay, so you're the guy who had to give the green light to do the class. And of course, you participated in it. You're still on the hook here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're the guy that has to run the class.
Mm-hmm.
So
correct.
Was it that easy to you as well?
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was simple. I mean, the resources that Upward provided made it very simple, very mm-hmm. easy. It was definitely a lot easier than being the basketball coach and having to mm-hmm. communicate with parents and wrangle the kids and make the lineups. It's like I had some emails through the Upward portal. I could send emails to the group and coordinate. We did it a little bit different because we did it on Saturdays, and so we had them watch the video during the week, and then so we could spend, you know, just like a half an hour of togetherness time, and then can go run. But yeah, it was definitely very easy. And Jeff didn't have to recruit any coaches for this one.
We want to be clear. We're not trying to say to all the Upward League directors out there, hey, don't do basketball.
No, not at all.
But it's a great, the way I see it in my vision coming into the Upward system was it's a great complement to all the other Upward sports. You can run it at the same time as the Upward sports.
Correct.
I always say, you know, parents, instead of sitting in the stands during practice time on your phone, Go to an Upward running class.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
And so.
Well, and we've been partners with Upward for 25, 26 years. I think this is our 26th year of basketball we're starting right now. But the thing is because of our partnership with Upward, it was so easy to just trust that the quality of the program was going to be good. And knowing how long the process is for getting basketball or soccer up and going, and a lot of that's because you're dealing with the kids.
Right.
You know, it was a nice break to go, we're going to start a sports league or program that is for adults. That was kind of a hurdle we had to get over. It's like, guys, Upward is now also for adults. But once we kind of got over that, it was really extremely easy to get off the ground and just launch. And so, again, it fit right in with our vision, and given our partnership and everything we've had with Upward, it was just such an easy onboarding to just get it up and going, which is why if it had been harder, we probably would have stopped for a second and went, maybe we'd launch this in the fall, you know, when it's cooler. It was so easy that we went, dude, why don't we start it in 3 weeks and we'll just promote it and go. And we did. And then we were sweaty. So
that was, but you were glad you did it.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. Getting it off the ground. And I'm probably going to say this multiple times. For me as a pastor, my responsibilities on Sunday, unfortunately, I don't get a chance to connect with a lot of the church folks. And so I see them come in and then I see them leave and I go, I don't know who these people are. I try to catch them in the hallway, introduce myself, but it's not going through the Upward running program. As a leader, I was able to go, I'm running alongside you. Actually, I'm running behind you. But at least we got to connect and make those relationships that now when we see each other in church, it's much easier just to go, what's going on? How are you doing? And we have a little bit more of a relational investment in each other.
Yeah.
So that's been great. We always say there's a special bond formed between people that suffer together.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And
we suffered.
Yeah. we got the go ahead and we planned out the recruitment time.
Yeah.
And so we launched in May, and we didn't think, let's see, 12 weeks from now is the beginning of August.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just looking at the calendar, not thinking about the season.
And, you're thinking about when to start, not when you're finished.
Right, exactly. It was the weather was great when we started.
And actually at the 5K, it was the nicest day running we had throughout the entire 12 weeks. God was like, good. All right, you know, you have endured. Here's a little bit of a treat.
For sure.
So that was nice.
Amen. You know, my kid, my oldest son has adopted two kids. The first one was very, very difficult, extremely difficult. And the second one is an angel. And I said, that is God smiling on you and saying, you did such a great job on this first one. And that's what that's what he did for you guys.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He got us through it. It was grace.
So you guys had your classes on Saturday mornings. Is that, did you meet once a week? How did that go? Was attendance good on Saturday mornings? A lot of people don't like to give up their Saturday mornings. Yeah. So how did that go?
So I chose Saturdays again because I commute back and forth to DC during the week. So a weeknight wasn't really feasible for me. And we understood too that during the summer people would be taking vacations. But surprisingly, we had good attendance most weeks, even though people were suffering. So that's why we chose Saturdays. There were a couple people that, because there was two other training days during the week, that I think they had discussed meeting on their own to run to do their run. So I think there was a couple of members of our group that did that also.
Yeah. So there's a biblical application here within the 5K challenge as well. And so tell me, Steve, when did you graduate from seminary?
I'm still working on it.
The point is that anybody, I'm not saying you're not biblically knowledgeable, but what do you say to somebody out there who might be thinking about teaching a class that it maybe hasn't taught a lot of classes and things like that? Yeah. Is the biblical part of this easy?
Yes, it was easy. It was intimidating, not the resources, but because I had a pastor from my church and I had another elder that was in our group, and I've never taught Sunday school or led a small group or anything like that. And so it was intimidating, but it was easy. It was definitely rewarding for me. It was part of the journey I've been on this year as far as my faith goes. And so it was, the resources again were excellent.
Well, talk about resources. So at my church, I have a track literally. Actually, the track is partially on our property. That's how close the track is to our church. So we're very, very fortunate. You guys, I think, started in the parking lot. Is that correct here?
Yes.
And then you kind of took it from there, but you guys got into the community. Tell me about a little bit about that.
So we started, our intention was we would meet here for the first couple of weeks at the church and then pick other locations in the area so we could be out in the community and people would see us running and maybe ask about us. And
back to the mission focus.
Right. What we found though is our group loved having the restroom here. So
because restrooms are important.
Especially we've sat and talked. We've had our biblical discussion and our running focus discussion, and now we're going to go run. And they want to use the restroom. Right. And so we originally just started, I think I measured a loop around the parking lot was a third of a mile. So three times around a mile.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So we did that for the first few weeks. And then somebody who lives in the neighborhood said, I know the neighborhood. I'm going to run in the neighborhood. So if anybody wants to come with me, let's go. So we had some that were just walkers. They were happy just walking, and others that were in the neighborhood. And we had someone stop us and said, where are you guys? And I said, we're from the church right here in the neighborhood. And they didn't join, but I've still been in contact with them. And they had a run planned in September. So they want me to reach out to them again.
When
we start this, we had another member of our group. She had her Upward Sports shirt on at the grocery store and someone asked her about it. Mm-hmm. And she said, that's the first, and she's in her 60s. First time anyone's ever approached her about anything to do with her faith, and she just felt confident talking to them. So it's definitely been a blessing.
That's a great story.
I don't think people understand the power of a t-shirt. That's where this whole ministry started back in 2010, was with just 12 t-shirts. And it's why chapters 9 and 10 is talking about moving past the question. What is Upper Running, which is the gospel presentation that we give. But I love hearing stories about people that come up and say, hey, what's the deal with that goofy looking t-shirt and how many doors that opens? Mm-hmm.
Sure. Even after our graduation run, which we haven't touched on yet, we had a few people, because we hung out at the zoo afterwards.
Sure.
Yeah. And we had people ask us about our shirts there too. And they wanted to know where our group was. And we were down in Baltimore, so we're probably about 40 minutes away. So we told them about our group, and they're like, that's kind of far. And I'm like, go look up Upward Running. Maybe your church will want to.
Absolutely. Yeah, start your own group.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Sure. So back to the bathroom thing. I got another theory.
Dean always has bathroom stories.
Yeah. There's one right back there. We can wait.
I didn't know that was back there.
Right. Yeah. They're nice.
I have this theory that if you look at race reviews, like how popular and how good a race is directly proportional to the number of restrooms they have available.
Porta potties.
I could tell a story. I don't know if you want that. We said PG-13.
Yeah. You're right.
So Annapolis has. I'm going to tell it anyway, I guess. Annapolis has a big 10-mile race. It's like one of the most popular 10-mile races in the country, and there's probably 10,000-15,000 people, and you know, you have your bib and your chip.
Is that Cherry Blossom?
Cherry Blossom's in D.C., which is going. Okay. This is just called the Annapolis 10-mile race.
Okay.
And they have tons of porta pots, but of course, right before the race starts, the lines are long. So and I probably shouldn't give out my secret. My secret is once the gun goes and 15,000 people are crossing the start line, then I go to the restroom because it empties out. And by the time I'm ready to go,
your time don't start till you cross anyway.
Right. And I'm still with the, I'm,
that's
I'm,
pretty good.
I'm just, I'm just following with the back of the group, and
it works out great.
Yeah, so I have it all to myself. There's no line.
And right. You can take a magazine and
that's
just
a good idea.
Yeah, I should probably write a story for Runner's World. For
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you got this Upward Running class going, but one of the interesting things about this particular class is that, Steve, you couldn't run with the group, right?
Correct.
So tell us what was going on there.
So, as I mentioned, I was having a faith journey this year. So our church had a digital detox during Lent, and so I was doing a lot of devotion time, and that's when I kind of was feeling the call to start the running group along with getting back in shape. And so we're down the path of getting everything started, and I got Lyme disease from my orienteering time in the woods, right? So
that orienteering doesn't sound as good.
So I don't think I like that.
No. Yeah. Upward orienteering, gone.
And the funny story is I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. So whenever something comes up, I go to my wife and I'm like, what do you think about this? And she's like, it's all in your head. Just get over yourself and move on, right? So I had been
feeling... As a loving wife should say.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So I had been feeling really bad, like no energy, achy joints. And so I went to, after about 3 weeks, I went to my wife and I'm like, I think I might have Lyme disease. And she's like, yeah, you should make a doctor's appointment. And then that really scared me because my wife agreed with me, right?
So when the wife and Dr. Google agree.
Right. Yeah.
So in the middle of all this is we're recruiting for the run group. And after church one day, we had scheduled for me to be in the lobby to answer questions. And I could barely get out of the pew to walk to the lobby. And I'm sure our congregation was thinking, that's the guy that's going to run the running group? Yeah. He can barely walk. So I went to the doctor. I got some... I got treatment for the Lyme disease. I still have some issues going on, so I'm going to physical therapy and stuff. So I still can't run.
So it was Lyme disease then?
It was Lyme disease. So
so you're basically a doctor now because you diagnosed that.
Yeah. And my doctor didn't believe me. He said, I don't think it's Lyme disease. But he's like, I'll run the test anyway. Yeah. And I'm like, my wife has picked 5 ticks off of me so far this year. And when I finally went back the next week, he's like, you're my first case this year. He's like, usually it happens later in the year. And I said, nope, I got it.
Wow.
So they said that it could stay with me. The effects of it could stay with me for up to a year. Wow. So the Lord had a different plan. He wanted me just to lead the group and not be all about myself and trying to get back in shape and showing off.
Yeah. I'm convinced that Steve knew he wasn't going to be able to run when he brought it to me and recruited me and said, you should do it. And I was like, right on. And then week one, he's like,
yeah, to be like, fair, I stayed in the church a lot of times.
Yeah, he did.
Running during the summer.
He was in here with his sweet tea.
Right.
Or you got to have sweet tea.
Well, oh, absolutely. Tea. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's the part of the Mason-Dixon line that we have embraced.
So,
that's a southern part.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, it would have been really easy for you to, at that point, have said, all jokes aside, to have said, you know what, I'm not going to do this class because I'm not ready to do the class. Right. But you didn't, because I think you probably felt God was trying to nudge you to, to do something. And
he's got a sense of humor.
He said, let me throw this barrier in front of you, and let's see what you can do with this. So that's great. So did you have any walkers in your group?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
I turned into one. Yeah. We did. We had. I mean, because we had a diverse group of people who joined, and I mean, they're probably going to listen to this, so I got to be really careful how I say it. But we didn't have many young people that were a part of it, and so it was a lot of people who just felt like, I need to do something. Like, I need to get off the couch, and this seems like a good, accessible way to do that. And so we had, you know, advanced runners, people who had were doing this already, and then others that were like, this is my first time doing anything in that regard. And so there were some people just said, I just need to start walking it. And like, that was cool.
Yeah.
Jeff, let me ask you something, since you said diverse, because I want to see if this holds true. One thing I always say that I've experienced in my own classes is, you know, in our churches today, and this is not a bad thing, but it's just the fact that we're pretty segregated in our churches. We have the young adults, we have the senior adults, we have the married, the non-married, we have the contemporary service, the traditional service.
Yep.
And when you come to an Upward Running class, it's like, it cuts across all of those things.
Absolutely.
People that would normally never sit beside each other or may not even know each other in the church, it's like a melting pot when you get in one of these Upward Running classes.
Yeah.
And that's really cool because, I mean, I've witnessed myself, you know, an 18-year-old sitting next to an 80-year-old in one of these classes. And that's just, that's something I never saw coming when we started this, but it's a really cool thing. So you're saying that holds true in your class.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I mean, we midway through our season, we had our church picnic at one of the state parks, you know, nearby. And me, Steve, my wife, and I think one or two of the others, we were all just wearing our Upward Running shirts. And we had a number of folks, particularly the older generation, that would come up and would go, like, oh, okay, well, cute shirt, but what are you guys doing? And we, you know, we would tell them this is what we're doing, and they would go, well, yeah, I know I need to do that, but I could never do it. And we're going, guys, literally, you can just walk this. Like, you can come be a part of this. It didn't help that it was 112 degrees that day. And they were like, we will never do that. And we're like, no, we'll come back when it's colder. But yeah, it was super accessible to literally everybody that wanted to be a part of it. In fact, I think when we did our 5K, we even had some family join on who did not participate in the 12-week class at all that still came out to do it, you know, dad and daughter. And it really was just like, you can come do this with us. So it was great.
Yeah, and did everybody feel comfortable?
Yeah.
No matter what their level was.
Very much.
Yeah.
That's the thing that, you know, for me, and I'm assuming this is true of Upward in all areas, but in our church, Upward basketball particularly has really had this vibe of, you are welcome here.
Sure.
It doesn't matter your skill level. You know, we will give you an opportunity to succeed. Mm-hmm. And this is not necessarily for the next Michael Jordan.
Right.
This is for the kid who needs to come and get some experience playing in a group. That's how we sort of approached Upward Running, which is everybody's going to be at a different level. And Steve was great about kind of bringing people along wherever they were and to say, this is what you need to be doing for the level that you're at. For those who are advanced runners, you know, he gave them opportunities, and we joke, but I mean, he gave them opportunities to kind of step up and lead a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And even said, if we to do, you know, were to do this again, we would potentially tap this person to say, could you branch off and maybe do one, have different classes kind of things, because they were up there. So it was very accessible for everybody of all age groups, and everybody really seemed to feel like it was, hate to use this term, but like it was a safe space to be able to do that. And just kind of, if you weren't a great runner, nobody was like, dude, why are you so slow? Mainly because I was the one in the back. We joked that we wanted to get scripture printed on the back of our shirts, and I said, I need it printed on the front of mine so everybody can turn around and look and see me when they, but that was, yeah, that was
well, to the group of people you were talking about in your church, the older group, we have a very young man just up the road in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, who's training for his first marathon right now. And how old is George? 80?
Say,
80 or 81.
Yeah, I think
he just recently did his first half marathon. That's, and he started in Upward Running.
That's,
and
I feel like I wasted my life. Thank you for
it's
that.
It's incredible. But no, that's to let us know that age is just a number.
Right.
Sure. Almost anybody can do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when I say almost, I mean there's very few exceptions.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. High 90% range for sure.
For me, it was good to see the as the weeks went on, you could see people becoming friends. Like the first week, everyone's just kind of off to their own and they're walking by themselves, and you see them walking or running together, and then they're looking for each other when they come in, and it was just a blessing to see
the community connect
that way.
Well, and when we did the 5K, we had clumps that were running together who normally would, you know, outside of this group, would never have interacted, never have met each other, and they were running the 5K, you know, together.
And do you see them now still today?
Absolutely.
Together?
Yeah. I mean, and again, I said it earlier, but as a pastor walking through the halls, being able to see Joe and Alicia and Susan and, you know, high five and being like, you know, good to see you guys. How's everybody feeling? And, you know, we have a connection that's deeper than what a number of people have just walking through the hallway. So because we've been there together.
Now, a lot of us are in the same fantasy football league. So
correct.
A little tension
intentional. No, but I mean, honestly, that was intentional because we kind of went, okay, if we're not running together every single week now, like we had been, how do we maintain that connection? And so as the person who put the teams together, I went, we had six or seven people six or seven people from the run group said, I want to do fantasy football. And so I put it together and said, okay, the run group will all be in the same fantasy football. So we're all still maintaining connection. Mm-hmm. And then Steve, right around the time of when it came time to draft, he reached out to everybody and said, guys, I know we were meeting Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. The draft was for like Saturday morning at 9 or something like that. He said, I'll be up at church if any of the runners want to come up and we will draft online together, which was helpful because a number of people had never done that before. Yeah. So it was neat. So we still kind of found ways that even if we weren't meeting every single week, we were able to go, let's still maintain a connection that builds our relationship and makes us feel like family.
Yeah. So, and everybody thrives on those relationships.
Absolutely. I mean, something as simple as running and playing fantasy football has been something where we've been able to kind of foster connections in our church with people that we never would have engaged with.
Sure.
So it's super cool.
He works through all things for sure. So let's talk about race day. So you get to graduation day and you guys are running a race at the zoo. It sounds like a joke, but it's not. You guys really did run a race at the zoo,
So as you can imagine, when we had our start date, we were searching for races. There's not a lot of races in August.
No.
For some reason up here.
Crazy.
Is there in Georgia.
We thought we were going to just have to do the local park run, which is down the street here. And I found this race through the Baltimore Zoo. We ended up being 13 weeks, so it was 1 week after our end date. And I talked to Jeff. I said, you think people would go all the way down to the zoo? And he's like, yeah. He says, I would. And they were excited. So we put that up as our graduation race. And we had, I think we ended up having 12 or 13 people come out. And then someone else had their daughter and husband come, so that was an additional one. But yeah, so we met at the zoo. We got to run the race through the zoo, and then we spent some time at the zoo afterwards.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool.
It was really neat.
So what was your favorite race day story? There's always a story of somebody who finishes that you get tears in your eyes, or it's funny, or something happened.
Yeah, you may be telling the same story.
No, you go first.
Go ahead.
Well, I was good. For me, because I've run a lot of races, and so to me, it was just another 5K. And I just didn't think back to when I ever ran my first race, which we had some people that did. So they were, I know this isn't the story you're going to tell. So they were very emotional. And some of them had their family members there with them. And they were, you know, their kids were so proud of them. And just seeing how excited they were after the race just meant a lot to me that we had gone through this torture during the summer, and here was at the end, and they did the race, and to see how emotional they were afterwards, and just to have somebody's adult daughter come up to them and say, "I'm so proud of you for doing this." It
was let me ask you a question, Dean. Sure. I'm probably blowing your outline up here.
It's good,
but
I can't read it.
We talk about this moment a lot as a runner, and we have runners talk to us about leading, and they're kind of what Dean and I have learned, and I think it sounds like you've also learned, is that teaching or coaching one of these programs changes you.
Oh, sure.
As the runner, and you have a deeper respect for the other people back there. You know, if you've ever come to an Upward Running, we used to put on some races, and especially the half marathon, we never touched anything with the finish line. We had music blaring. In fact, we kept the crowds around, and the crowd was the loudest for the last person coming in as the first person.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's because the emotions are visceral for those people. Mm-hmm. And as a runner, I was a longtime runner when I started this journey. It changed the way I looked at it. It changed the way Dean looks at the sport now, because what can be a pretty selfish sport?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all, how can I make my time better? How can I do this? What shoes do I need? If you start putting that focus on other people, man, it changes you. And it sounds like that was the moment it happened for you.
And I think if I had been running, like I walked it, and I think if I had been focused on my own running during this time frame, I wouldn't have had the same experience.
So God gave you Lyme disease.
For me. That's how I look at it. I mean,
and you're happy about it.
Yeah. I don't know, but that might be a stretch.
But that's so cool to hear, because we hear that so often. Yeah. Is that it changes the coach as much as it changes the students.
I'm sure Jeff, from a running perspective, did not like the hill at the end of the race.
Honestly, I hated it. But but that became so when the race started, you know, we're familiar with the zoo, and it starts on this amazing downhill run, which goes, oh yeah, feeling real good, but you know, I gotta go back up this at the end, and that's gonna be no good. And so I just kind of had my music. I was running by myself because I was faster than the walkers but slower than the runners, and so I got to the hill, and I just went, I'm gonna get up this hill, like I'm going to run up it. There were times during the 5K that I kind of needed to kind of slow down a little bit and walk a little bit. But I was like, I will run up this hill if it kills me. And it almost did. But I got up it, and it was that kind of, you know, and the finish line is literally at the top of the hill. And so you hear the music, you hear the cheering, and you go, I'm going to do it. And it was great, because my wife had finished about 6 or 7 minutes before I did. And I walked up and said, hey, and she turned around shocked. And she was like, I didn't think I'd see you so soon. And I'm like,
thanks, babe.
Is that a win? I think it's a win. So I was like, so that was nice.
Good stuff. So did you have a story that you wanted to share?
Yeah, I should have gone first. I won't tell it now, because it was a great moment. No, Dean, just cut this and put it at the front. Right before we went to go together, our whole group was there, and we were like, they have a big Baltimore Zoo sign. And we're like, we need to get a picture of our whole group together before we do this. It's going to be super great. And what I should tell you is we've kind of just named ourselves the Frogs, Faith Run Group, FRG. So we've just kind of, like, our little mascot when we do promotion is come be a frog. We're going to be frogs, frogs, frogs. And we went to take our picture in front of the Baltimore Zoo big sign and looked down, and there was a dead frog just cooking in the sun. And we went, is that an omen? I don't know, but hopefully that's the only dead frog. So it became our tagline became nobody died. Seeing a dead frog right before we went out. But yeah, also, you know, seeing people finish was great too. Yeah. So, yeah.
But it was exciting because when we got to the zoo, we parked in the frog parking lot. They directed
the
us.
Golden frog and we're parking lot.
Like, oh, it's the golden frog. It's a sign. And then we went to take our picture.
It was like, a dead frog.
Ooh, which sign is this? And then Jeff said a little prayer before we started. He says, your one word prayer.
I say this a lot of times before worship. If things, you know, not sure how it's going to go, it's just my favorite prayer to pray is, Lord, help. Amen. And that was our prayer before we went out.
I love it. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll talk some more.
Do you need something to keep you motivated to keep fit both physically and spiritually? Upward Running has what you need to keep you on track for both. Check out upwardrunning.com and join us for pennies a day. I promise you, you will not regret it.
All right, so we're back. Let's talk about what advice you would give to somebody, and whether it's as a worship leader or a pastor of a church or somebody who is, I don't know, has a stake in trying to see the church do well with a program like this, or as the coach, what advice would you guys give to folks out there that might be thinking about it?
Find a Steve. Honestly, when somebody comes and says, I have a heart for a ministry, this is something God has laid on my heart, I'm good at this, I will coach it, there are no cons. I mean, there is no reason to say no at this point. And as we did, the easiest thing to do is, how do we equip you and how do we get this off the ground as fast as possible? Because you don't want to lose that passion. You don't want to say, I mean, and I guess maybe we knew it was going to be hot, but what we didn't want to do is go, cool, let's wait 6 months to launch this. Because this is something that is would help people, and I've got somebody who's excited about it. And that really is... I feel like a lot of privilege being able to say that, because I know a lot of pastors would go, this would be something that would, I've got to go find somebody. So this literally just, we're in our gym and Steve goes, can I do this?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And he was the right person for it. And it has been such a joy to be a part of.
You know, I don't think we could have scripted that any better, because I've gotten the privilege of going on the road with some of our sales team, and when we're talking to pastors about this, the way I describe it is, think about the crazy guy in your church that you see on Saturday mornings running up and down the road.
Right.
That's
right.
Your guy.
Right.
It's the connection is just, it's obvious for that person.
Yeah.
It's great for the church, but it's great for the Steve, whoever that Steve is, to take what they love to do and use it to share Christ.
Yeah.
And it's just a win-win. So I'm glad you said it that way, because it's so true.
Because how often do you have that opportunity as a runner?
Right.
To do, because like I said, it's a isolated, singular sport.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Maybe on race day, if, there's a, sometimes there'll be a faith group at a race that'll pray for you or whatever, but that's just a one-off. Mm-hmm. It's not an ongoing thing where you're building relationships with people.
And to be fair to you as a pastor, and I want other pastors to hear this, you participated in the class.
Absolutely.
By golly, you got out there and you sweat right along with everybody else.
Yeah.
And so every
that's
pastor
a challenge
that's
to every pastor listening.
Yeah. I love
when the pastor gets involved. I've seen the group up in Westerville, Ohio. They've got
Ben Reed's.
Reed's group. They've done tons of classes. They've had hundreds of people go, maybe thousands by this point. But anyway, their pastor was very involved in it. And I mean, I think it helps the whole group when the pastor gets involved.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. And, so thank you for that.
And again, I mean, I've said it probably the third or fourth time now, but as a pastor, being able to just be a part of something like this that basically functions like a small group and allows you to have connection with people that you would not normally have connection with, there is zero reason to say no to this, both as a church and also as a leader. And I don't want to like make it, you know, Steve is a unicorn in church ministry where you just have somebody who just wants to serve all the time and is good at it. Thinking, you know, when I say find a Steve, I also want to say with Upward, the way we approach basketball and the way we approach running, as we've done with all of these other, you know, kind of creative ministry ideas, is we don't view Upward basketball as a basketball program.
Right.
You know, and Upward Running is not a running program. Right. It's a ministry that we are just using this tool to go do. So for us, we go, how do we connect with this family? Well, if we can say, hey, we'll do basketball over here, but we're going to introduce you to Jesus. That's the goal. Mm-hmm. Same with running is we're going to get you into a small group you don't realize you're in. And we're going to do a time of devotion. Everybody is super engaged in it because nobody wants to go out when it's 90 degrees outside. Yeah. So Steve can talk as long as he wants. And it really comes down to, you just got to find somebody who has the heart for the ministry and has the desire to go, I just want to pour into the community. And if I'm just going to use running to do it, that's fine, because Upward Running supplied all of the resources for people. If you're not a small group leader, if you're not somebody who, the resources are there. And so it just equipped the people to be able to go out and lead. Fortunately, we've got a unicorn. We've got somebody who is a good runner who can talk to us about, you know, here's the kind of shoe you should be wearing. Here's how he taught me how to stretch. He's taught me about heart rate monitors, things I never wanted to know about. And now I know what zone two is. And, you know, so like that's been great. But this is accessible to anybody in any church.
So Unicorn.
That's your new nickname.
I think the title of this podcast is going to be Find Your Steve.
Oh, yeah, Find Your Steve.
Find Your Steve.
Yeah. So Steve, tell those that are out there that have thought, you know, I think I might like to dive off and I'm not sure if I want to do that. What's your advice to those people who have maybe thought about teaching a class and just haven't done it yet?
Yeah, well, I mean, usually the hesitation is, well, first you have to overcome, I won't say overcome, you buy in from the church. So that doesn't, you know, it's not always going to be as easy as just going to the church and them just saying yes. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in other churches where it's got to go through committees and, you know, there's a lot of approval that has to go through for something like that. And then you're, you know, like I said, I've never led a Bible study or a small group, but, you know, the resources are there. It's right out of the box. It's if you're using Upward Running, the training program's there, the resources are there. If you don't know anything about running, there's the videos you just share with your team. So you don't have to be an expert at running, at being in seminary or anything like that. You can do it as long as you have the motivation and you know God's leading you in that way.
Yeah. Even if you have elders and pastors in your class.
Yes. And if you have Lyme disease.
That's with Lyme disease. Yeah. Boy, you talk about some obstacles, but you did it anyway.
But yeah, it's like, well, you know, God was clearing everything else out so I could solely focus on this. As far as running goes.
So do you guys plan to do another Upward Running class? And if so, what does that class look like? Is it just another 5K challenge class? Do you have some folks training for 10Ks or half marathons or something else? Or what are you guys thinking?
It would be in the spring. Yeah. I know we had, even though we're not like meeting, you know, we still, I think, have a group that kind of connects. Steve is still kind of my coach, helping me. My wife and I are still running and doing stuff. For me, my goal would be to do a faster 5K.
Okay.
Would be, you know, I know there's been, you know, doing a 10K, doing it. That sounds amazing for somebody else. You know, a marathon, maybe when I'm 81. You know, so, but right now, my goal has just been to try to improve. My wife has challenged me because she's former military, and so she would run all the time. And when we would go out together, I would be like, I'm not a runner. And then she would take off running. I could never figure out why she would run away when I would say that. And then she told me, you know, during our season, our class, literally anybody can be a runner. So just shut up and run. And I went, oh yeah, you're right. Like nobody isn't, you know, like I'm not a runner. Is it just because you don't run? But if you start running, you become a runner. It just, and so I went, okay. And I took that as a challenge and said, I will continue to try to get better and all that because of Steve coming up and going, can I do this? So I don't know what that looks like for us in the future, but I know that there would probably be some interest, and we may get some older folks from our community that just go, yeah, can I just come walk it? So we would just kind of large net, big umbrella, say, come and do whatever you feel like you need to do. Just get off the couch.
So can I make a prediction?
Sure.
Because we've seen this over and over, and it happened most vividly to me. I taught the very first upward running class, and we had 14 people start. We had 22 graduate. The second class was going to be in the spring, and I started, you know, like any good Baptist church, I was putting the flyers out and pinning them up, and I had a sign-up sheet, and we had 70 sign up. And I was already nervous as a cat. I mean, I don't talk in front of people. I was completely outside my comfort zone. We had 70 something sign up. We had 200 show up.
Good night.
The first night. And what I understood, because I talked to a lot of people that night trying to find out why did this go from 22 to 200?
Right.
And what I learned is that for every person that was in that first class, there were 10 or 15 people watching them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, if Jane does it, I'll do it next time. And so we call it the second class bump. So I'm curious to see, report back to us if you do another 5K challenge. I'd love to hear that, because I mean, testimony, you know, is a great thing. And
yeah, we have a woman that was part of our group, or is part of our group, and she, we had probably about 25% of our class was not from our church, from other areas. And so she was talking up her, I want to get my pastor involved, I want to get my friends to come. Mm-hmm. So I could see that that happening. Mm-hmm. I think there was probably three other churches represented in our group.
Yeah. It was so bad, Jeff, that night I was in the bathroom and three deacons praying over me. I was flipping out.
The prayer was, Lord, help.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he got me through it.
Yeah.
So, I'm having a little anxiety just thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
For the stories, we share stories obviously every week in the program. Did you find that people kind of connected with those stories? Were they really impactful to people? And then when you got to weeks 9 and 10 and you were sharing the gospel, a lot of times, you know, weeks 9 and 10 grew out of the need for sharing the gospel, because at first when Mitchell started the class, it was a discipleship program. It was meant for people in the church. You didn't need to share the gospel with people that are in the church.
Right.
But we found that there were people coming from the outside. And also we found through the George story, which I don't guess we'll tell here, but just a story of somebody who was a deacon in their church who realized they had been playing church their whole life. And sometimes you need to present the gospel in places where it doesn't seem like it's needed, right? And so what did you guys think about the spiritual side of the class?
The spiritual side, it kind of already alluded to, but that was what the whole thing was, in terms of this is a ministry and we're just using, you know, at no point were we ever going to go, we're going to get away from this and just really emphasize the physical aspects of it and getting out and doing it, the resources, sharing those, the podcasts, and being able to just continue to push the spiritual emphases in our group really was meaningful.
For me, being an upward basketball coach also, because we share the gospel through upward basketball, and I coach fourth to sixth grade girls, and so, you know, it's like herding cats sometimes and blank looks. Doing it with adults is different. You can see that it's sinking in. It's received, I won't say better, but in a different way that's for adults. So that was interesting for me, being a coach of adults and children. And I think I shared earlier that our friend Kathy, who shared the gospel in the grocery store because she had her upward sports shirt on. And so it was definitely a rewarding experience, and glad you have the resources and the weekly devotionals and the stories too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, good stuff. So do you guys listen to the podcast or you mm-hmm. just hear this time? You guys listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
And okay. All right. I'm checking on you.
Because we've got a quiz yeah, sure. that starts right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely. Let's do it.
First question. On January 20th, 2023, we're glad that we're here. So tell, are there any other stories that you didn't share that you're thinking now, we should share that story about this group because this thing happened that was pretty awesome? And are you going to go home tonight and go, wow, why didn't we talk about that?
Jeff took some notes, so he's got a lot of notes.
Yeah, I think I've been repeating myself. What? I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything. We told the frog story, the dead frog story. That's about as low as we're going to get that. Huh? Yeah, low light, high light, you know. I would just say from my own personal, having gone through it, I was very ready for when we started, I was very ready for it to be over, right? Like I was doing it from the standpoint of, okay, I'm doing this with my wife. I need to be doing something like this, but I look forward to get my Saturdays back. I look forward to not, you know, being mm-hmm. in pain. but coming out of that group, continuing to write, like it was something that I guess you could say I got a little bit of a bug for it and tried to go, how do I get better? How do I improve? And then it's just, again, it was invaluable for the relationships that have been made.
Yeah.
And so coming out of that group, we've got a little, you know, WhatsApp group chat. We still mm-hmm. connect with each other on and check in to see how everybody's doing. So that really, it's been very special.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic. Can't recommend it enough.
Well, I don't know if you guys are willing or want to share any contact information, but sure. if there's anybody out there who is a pastor or a coach or somebody trying to start a running program and may want to talk to somebody who's actually done it, you guys want to share your contact information with
yeah.
us?
Yeah. You can email me at Jeff, spelled correctly, J-E-F-F, at welcome2.faith. And Steve's cell phone number is...
None of that G, Jeff.
No, that's not real. Yeah. No, my parents
love
me.
That's what I got from that.
Yeah. No, and if you want to connect with Steve, you can always email me and I'll get you in touch with him.
Yeah, I think you set me up with Running at Faith.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Running at faithbc.net or welcome2.faith. That one would work as well.
Yeah, well, very good. Well, man, we appreciate you guys hosting us and talking with us and sharing these great stories.
Yeah.
And it's always fun to connect with folks that have shared these experiences because we've seen them so many times.
Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. funny because we've heard so many stories. It never gets old.
No.
It never gets old hearing somebody share the connection that you made, the relationship that was made, the achievement and the tears and the young folk or the adult telling their parent, good job, and I'm so proud mm-hmm. of you. I mean, those are moments that mm-hmm. you'll mm-hmm. remember the rest of your life, and we appreciate you guys sharing those with us. And I hope your second class, I hope you have 300.
That would be amazing.
No.
Yeah. Lord help.
I could see us all running through the neighborhood on Saturday morning. Yeah. There would definitely be questions asked.
But. Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for everything you do.
You're very well. Let's end with scripture. Do you have a life verse or a scripture that you'd like to share, Jeff?
Mine is very simple. I'm a simple person. Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Amen.
And just love that. Love the posture of humility, of just, and I guess we could change it to, and run humbly with your God. That's what we're doing. But to act justly, to care for others, to look out for the needs, and just the concept of loving mercy. I love it when I get it, but I have to love giving it. And so that passage has always meant a lot to me.
That's good stuff. Cool.
And I'm not going to follow my pastor.
Smart man.
Yeah. Man, oh man. Wisdom. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We appreciate everybody out there. Until next time, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.